guesting on Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Hurricane Watch 2017. We're following both Irma, that is barreling now up the Caribbean toward Florida. And it appears right now it's somewhere over Turks and Caicos. You got to understand just the tragedy of these little islands. They're tiny. All you have to do is fly over the Caribbean. These are tiny little islands, and they're really there's no high ground. That's the thing about it. In Florida, they're telling people to go high ground. Even Florida really doesn't have that great of high ground. It's flat. But these little islands, in some places, you know, 2 miles, 3 miles wide, it's just devastating. So we're following that. And also, you've got Hurricane Jose forming in the background. It's just early stages. And Jose, of course, is a poor little dreamer. So we'll see if he makes it all the way. Now, the third hurricane that no one is reporting is Hurricane Hillary. It's a real storm. And if you ask Democrats, they're about to get the full brunt of it as Hillary is mapping her assault on the country with this idiotic book tour. You heard about this. Not only does this insufferable woman write a book, which she titled, where do I have it here? It's called What Happened? That's the title of the book. I have a suggestion. Nobody from Hillary's camp consulted me during the editing process. But I would have thought they could have probably done well to have added a question mark. So it could have read, what happened? So couldn't that be better? I don't know. Anyway, Robbie, by the way, in case, ladies and gentlemen, you're wondering, he is wearing a genuine Stetson. And so my view right now is I'm looking into the control booth. I've got him wearing some sort of, flannel? Plaid? Is it plaid or striped? Striped. You've got a shirt that you make, you look like a Navajo chieftain, but like you've got the cowboy boots and the hat. So it's an impressive sight. So that's what I'm dealing with over here. But anyway, Hillary, book tour. This is insane. What happened? In the book, by the way, she blames everyone. Everyone and their goat. The Politico published a piece here going through it. I have to give you the list is exhaustive, even for somebody like a Clinton who likes to keep an enemies list. The Russians, they're at fault. Vladimir Putin, he got blamed. Low information voters, and she's still going after the deplorables. I mean, this is the new term, right? The low information voters. Who else? Hillary. You cannot attack Obama. Obama's the single greatest asset that the Democratic Party has, and he's a spent force. I mean, he's been president for 2 years. He really can't come back and do anything, but he's the one Democrat in the last, you know, however many years that's delivered solid victories, 1 and 2. And Hillary's going after him because she's blaming him. She's saying, look, Obama should have gone out and done a primetime address talking about the Russia scandal. And the only problem with it is, it was a nothing deal back then. And Obama smartly didn't want to get into it because had Hillary won, which is what everybody expected, had Hillary won, it would have delegitimized her victory. See? Yeah, she completely forgets this. If she was such a shoo-in, why bring up the Russia scandal? Why bring it up? Because the only harm it would have done is to her victory, had it happened. So Obama had his very intel. I mean, Obama's a smart political operator, and he understood that that was not a good move. She also is furious with Obama, rightly so, for decentralizing the Democratic Party and basically taking a lot of a lot of the power of the Democratic National Committee and moving it into his own operation. Because that's what Obama did when he ran the campaign. He basically took a lot of the assets that were the Democratic Party, that were of the Democratic Party before Obama, and brought them into the Hope and Change movement controlled by him. So it gave Obama and his campaign tremendous clout and a lot more power than the Democratic Party, which when he left, when he was done, Hillary accuses him that she didn't turn anything over to him. But why is this so crazy? I called her Hurricane Clinton. And it's because literally, as she is mapping out her book tour, different places where she's going to stop, the Democratic Party is putting out calls to any politicians of theirs that are campaigning within 500 miles of her and are warning them to stay away. This is the equivalent of a political mandatory evacuation order. And why? Because no one wants Hillary's stink on her. No one. This is disastrous. The carcass of the 2016 loss, which is, it's coming up to a year. Jeez. Right? November? It's going to be a year. That went by quick. For some. Not Hillary. But she's doing this book tour. You see the platinum VIP level meet and greet passes. You can go. Not only are you going to hear her recite passages from her book, which has got to be a real snooze fest, but then you can actually pay up to, $3,500 to have a little meet time, a little FaceTime with Hillary beforehand. Would you pay $35 to meet Hillary? I don't know. Could I throw a beanbag at her or something? It's insane. And she's doing it. It's not cathartic. Everyone has this wrong. Everybody is saying that it's some sort of catharsis. And the only apologists that she really has are her diehard loyalists who are saying, well, it was a tough loss. It was a bruising loss and she's got to sort it out in her head. But she's doing it for the money. I'm astounded by the level of ignorance, I think it's willful ignorance on the part of the media. They will not get back to addressing the Clinton Foundation. Do you know, by the way, where the revenue is on the Clinton Foundation? Let me map to you a precipitous drop. Imagine, picture a cliff. Now turn that into a revenue graph. That right there, in rough terms, is what the finances look like over at the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. Why? Because the day that she lost, it was over for her and she no longer had any access to sell. The whole thing was a sham. The whole thing was built on the idea that Hillary was the anointed one that was going to become president. And all these countries, all these organizations and corporations and individuals from around the world that were putting money into this Clinton piggy bank were doing it with the expectation that it would buy them influence. It was a total scam and probably illegal. But the evidence of that is that the money's dried up. If they were giving money to her for any other reason, wouldn't it have continued? If it was really all about charity and goodwill and good deeds, then would we not have this money continue in some form? So the Clintons are out of cash. I mean, they've been living high on the hog. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars have been going through this thing. When you're used to spending, burning through, $10, $15 million a year. You and I can't even imagine this, by the way. This is the inconceivable amount of wealth that they were able to burn with this foundation. So Hillary's broke relative to where she was a year ago. She's broke. That's the real story. And no one's talking about it because I don't know. They're still believing in, buying into the Clinton fiction. The Clintons are operators. They're scam artists. And the only difference between the two of them is that Bill's smart. I know this is blasphemous, but no, Bill's a smart guy. He's one smooth operator, and he understands politics. He's got a nose for it. And the biggest mistake Hillary made, she's got to blame herself, but the biggest mistake she made is pushing him out of the way. If she had let Bill run that damn campaign, God forbid, the woman might be in the White House. But she didn't. She was so smart. She knew best. And just in an annoying fashion, self-imploded. So now even the mainstream media is having a go at her. They're laughing at her. She's become a laughingstock. These people who all despise Trump want to see the Republicans fail, spend most of the time during their programming to call Republicans racists and bigots and the like, are actually openly laughing. I mean, listen to this. For example, John King and the Associated Press, Julie Bykowitz, are talking about how, you know, she's blaming Bernie and she's blaming the Democratic National Committee. But hell, I mean, what does Bernie have? Poor Bernie. Listen to this. This is on CNN.
Bernie didn't take millions of dollars for paid speeches. Yeah. Bernie didn't run the Clinton Foundation. Bernie didn't set up a private email server.
I know. And it feels so uncomfortable to keep relitigating this over and over. But at the same time, in some ways, get the book out. It's well before midterms. It sort of gets 2016 out of the way. She obviously wanted to write a book and has something to say about the Democratic Party, which we all know from covering it is a mess right now.
This is and this is exactly the point I was making. See how they're just covering for her even when they're mocking her? I mean, it's uncomfortable. First of all, it's uncomfortable for them because their loser candidate is busy traveling around the country picking at scabs when the Democratic Party ought to regroup, reinvent itself, come up with a new strategy that, you know, maybe is a little more creative than trashing Trump 24/7. And when that ought to be happening, they've got Hillary, who is basically like somebody dragging a dead corpse around, stinking the place up and reminding everybody what a disaster 2016 was. She is the face of an out-of-touch, elitist Democratic Party. More than that, a hypocritical Democratic Party that supposedly and purportedly speaks for minorities, speaks for the poor, speaks for the working class, speaks for the downtrodden, all the while flying around private jets, burning through $15, $16, $20 million a year, living high on the hog, staying in suites at fancy hotels, paying for her daughter's wedding with this stuff. I mean, and if you ask my wife, says this all the time, Bill's got the charisma. She had zero charisma, nothing. Just a total hag. Just stood there and thought she was entitled. And so the Democrats are just, yeah, they're fed up. And this is going to wreak destruction on the Democratic Party. Yeah. And, you know, they're actually making fun of her about, you know, she's visiting states. You know, she's going to Wisconsin. And the hilarious thing is she didn't even go there during the campaign. This is how tone deaf she was. She thought she had it in the bag and it was going to be done. Listen, here's more. John King, another part of the program, is talking to Wall Street Journal's Michael Bender. And they're laughing about the book tour. Listen.
Is it snarky to raise this question? On her book tour, she's going to Michigan and Wisconsin. Really? Really?
Yeah, well,
really?
I'm not sure how many fans she has out there, but yeah, it'll be she finally, right? She gets out there and sees some of Trump country.
That's a little mean, but it's just a fact. You know, had she been in Wisconsin, Michigan, maybe during the campaign, but we'll leave that for another day.
Ew, do you see how epic this is? I mean, this is on CNN. This is John King who we saw on election night shaking as he was manipulating that goofy, you know, CNN electoral map, playing with the touchscreen. He had it all memorized, all of his moves. You know, he was going to just tell, well, let me show you how Trump wins and Trump loses and this is Hillary wins. And all of a sudden it was it was all backwards, and he was just standing there just saying, oh, Wolf, I don't know. Geez, looks like, you know, this is going to looking good for Hillary, as the map was turning red. That same guy here is, you know, 10 months later, 11 months later, is laughing at her. So this is her, by her approval rating, 30%. Now, Trump's today, Rasmussen, I don't know if you saw this, 45%. Trump's on the upswing. The Democratic Party does not want this at all. And it's great news. It's great news for the GOP. I am not going to lie. Trump's got to be laughing all the way to the bank, having fun with this. But you can't go after Obama. That's a Fredo move. That's a Fredo move. All right. More on Hillary. And, of course, DACA. We got more DACA stuff and hurricane talk, too. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, up next.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790. KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thursday, this week went by fast. Monday was a holiday. So I think some of us are a little surprised that tomorrow is going to be Friday. Yeah, flew by for me, certainly, and maybe for you as well. I neglected last segment to give out the phone number, which I just got so excited talking about Hurricane Hillary and the havoc that she's wreaking on the Democratic Party with her stupid book tour. 800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to be on the program. Maybe you want to go to Hillary's book tour. So call me. I want to hear from you. If you're the person that would spend $3,500 to meet and greet Hillary before she does a poetry reading from her tome, I definitely want to hear from you. Or send me an email and tell me how crazy you are. Sam@samnation.com. You know, I got one more clip here that I think it really gets at what I'm discovering here, because the media right now, they're turning on her. They're turning on her after carrying water for Hillary and all of her stooges for, you know, 2 years, well, longer before that. But you remember some of the procedural history here. Hillary, with complicit aiding and abetting from Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the rest of the Democratic Party, stole the nomination from Bernie. I mean, Bernie was the shoe and he was the people's choice. And then the sages of the Democratic Party got together and used all of their, super voting power to put Hillary in. Even though Bernie got the majority of the popular vote. And the media didn't even really challenge that. You didn't see them going after that process. They kind of poo-pooed it and, you know, swept it under the rug. And then they carried water for Hillary time and time again. I mean, how many times did we watch CNN or MSNBC and have those clips here on the program where they just took everything that happened with the email server? And with the paid speeches and with all the nonsense that Hillary did and Anthony Weiner, you get the pedophile, the sex pervert who was basically getting what her top secret emails and sent to her, and all the classified information sent to her. Yeah, it's just nuts. And none of that ever was poked at really by the media. None of that was ever pursued. There's brushed it over, and we're too busy talking about Trump's various escapades. So, listen to this. This is CNN with Wolf Blitzer. There's a gal, Brianna Keeler. She's a senior Washington correspondent, and she's really getting at this here. This is a moment of truth, even from a liberal. Have a listen.
It speaks to an issue that Hillary Clinton has had. I think we've all seen this, where she struggles sometimes to take responsibility. She came in with weaknesses that were completely self-created, and for an opponent to ignore those things, to not really run them, the emails and a number of things, to not really capitalize on them would have been political negligence. So she couldn't have been surprised that someone was going to do that. She did things that hurt her brand, and then she seems to blame other people for doing that.
But really? You only are coming up with that now? This is Hillary Bimbo Eruptions Clinton. I mean, when her husband was, by some accounts, raped a woman. When he had floozies, yes, coming out of the woodwork, yes, that had had affairs with him. When he was taking advantage of a young intern in the Oval Office, Hillary Clinton called them bimbo eruptions and went after viciously many times these women. She doesn't take responsibility for anything. This woman's never said, I'm sorry, ever. And they never called her on it. And only now they're beginning to. And I'll tell you why that is. Because they're starting to realize, it's starting to hit them, that this woman is a total liability. They got to bury this dead body before it really starts to stink. Because it's stinking. It's rotting and it's stinking. You don't want to keep this around any longer because it's beginning to be a problem for the party. And they realize, the sneaking realization is that this could just possibly mean doom in 2020. I mean, can you imagine another 4 years of Trump? All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after the news with John Wolf.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Well, welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. And, with everything else going on in between hurricane coverage and Hillary Clinton's book tour, don't worry, the media is still obsessed with how racist Republicans are. We have a little sampling here. Consider this. What would this be? If you go to a restaurant and you can't commit to which particular plate you have, this is a sampler platter. So have a listen to a little montage on DACA. From Chuck Schumer, David Gergen, Tom Brokaw, Keith Olbermann, Don Lemon, and not least of which, Joy Behar ends. Have a listen.
President's decision to end DACA was heartless and it was brainless.
This is one of the most cruel acts we've seen in the presidency in a long time.
For a long, long time, the Republican Party has been declaring war on Hispanics in this country.
An active, belligerent, virulent white nationalist dedicated to rolling back the rights of and ruining the lives of Americans of color.
What does this say to Americans of color? It says, again, what you said, you're not wanted.
There's racism involved here, and why don't they just admit it?
Yeah, you know, why don't they just admit it? You know, I think at this point, Republicans, from the way this sounds in the media, and this from politicians to actors to idiot commentators, everyone seems to be in a fairly good agreement that the Republican Party is nothing but, well, let's see, what is this? Virulent white nationalists that have declared war on Hispanics and Americans of color. This is all has to do with DACA, which is the deferred action for the children of illegal immigrants, which makes these children, I mean, I don't want to be cruel here, but just the law is the law. It makes them illegals, right? No. So that is, I guess, how this is all being framed. Now, I keep bringing this up because I guess it affects me so profoundly. This is total, unabashed demagoguery. There's no other way to put it. These people, they're making this up. You know, Trump's tweeting. He actually sent out a tweet today, something to the effect of, you know, for 6 months, nobody has anything to worry about. Like, we're not going to do it. Trump wants to pass DACA. He wants deferred action. He wants Congress to do it. And honestly, it's a position that is not popular with his base. I have to make this point. If you go to Trump's base and you say, well, let's provide amnesty. And in fact, And we had moved on yesterday, but I'd shared my thoughts on amnesty. And we'd had Linda, where was Linda calling from yesterday? Burbank. And she said, I don't want any amnesty. This is a caller to the program. She just, I couldn't take the call. But I get it. And Linda, I hear you. And I want people to understand that and to hear you because Trump on one hand is losing with his base. He's losing because he's actually got a very moderate position. But on the other hand, he is still being painted with this racism brush. It is absolutely irresponsible. It's an outright lie to make the issue of illegal immigration, to have a politician address illegal immigration, and then to say that that's because he's racist. Law does not discriminate. And I mentioned before, you've got Poles in this country and Czechs, and you've got Ukrainians, you've got white illegal immigrants here. This applies to them as well. But what it is it's politics. It's plain and simple politics, and it's indefensible. I don't know. I would struggle to make these kind of irrational arguments on behalf of my party and my people. That's why I really don't have a party, and I'm more of an independent guy. The older I get, because you can't be so married to an ideology that you make these kind of crazy arguments. It's just insane. All right, Sam Rejofsky, don't go anywhere. We got more. Sam Nation up next.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, what do you do if you get rear-ended out on the freeway or anywhere? Well, don't become a victim twice. That's my advice. You don't want to deal with the insurance company. Don't go there. Don't try to give them a call and send them your medical records and all your private information. Don't do it. Don't go there. Instead, call my friend, the attorney that we trust here on the program, Attorney Sweet James Bergner. He knows this stuff inside and out. You got to trust me on this. He's $400 million and up of settlements and verdicts for his clients. He's been doing this a long time, and he knows what to do to get you the justice that you deserve. So pick up the phone, call 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website. Visit his website. It's got all the information you need. So that website here, very easy, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And here's, talking about these shrill reactions that the media and politicians and pundits are putting out there over DACA, calling Trump a racist, a virulent racist. You heard the montage that we played last segment. I think that what this type of nonsense, because it's total nonsense. But by repeating it, two things are happening. One, the media risks by repeating something that is so patently absurd and so shrill and so alarmist. We've got this violent white supremacist in the White House. Come on, for reals? But by repeating it over and over again, over time, people are going to lose interest in it. Or alternatively, number two, people are going to do what? They're going to start to believe it. And then that creates the type of scenarios that we were having some fun yesterday. I was reading those texts that a friend sent me, how her longtime friend, she's checking in with him. And the guy goes, well, are you still a Trump supporter? And she goes, well, I did agree. And she kind of goes through a list of things. And then next thing you know, he's like, well, I'm sorry. It's going to be a little while then before we can touch base. And that type of thing, you're informed. We get to talk every night and you understand what's up. But if, maybe you've got a friend or a relative or somebody who you know, goes and sits and watches, I don't know, maybe an hour of CNN a week, and that's their only exposure to you know, the quote-unquote real world. And they walk away from that convinced that Trump is a white supremacist, that he's basically probably a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, and that anyone who could possibly ever even sort of think he's an okay guy. Remember, his approval rating, 45%. 45%, at least, if you trust polling. I don't, but at least if Americans think or approve of him. So that's, I don't know, almost one in two, you know, one out of two Americans out there. But when you, if that's what you think, if that's really what the media has convinced you, that he's Satan, then when you talk to somebody out, you know, you run into somebody and they're saying, well, I kind of like him and everything. And you start shouting at them, oh my God, I can't talk to you. You're a racist. You're a bigot. If you support that man, you're just the worst. You're the worst. I can't even be. And have a meltdown. You think you're really winning that person over? You think you're building a bridge? You think you're you think you're in any place to make a reasoned argument with this other fellow human being of yours? No, you're just shutting down conversation. That's not who we are. That's not it's un-American. We are a country that has always historically been able to sit down and talk even over disagreements. And that's why I think the media's this will end up biting them in the butt, because what they think that they have absolutely withdrawn any kind of even a veneer of objectivity. Done. Because Trump is so bad and so horrible that they have to fight against him. But in so doing, I think they're creating a real toxic environment out there that does not help, the Democratic Party regaining the White House. Again, hoist by their own petard. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So what was it, $3,500 to be with Hillary Clinton on her book tour? For a mere $200, tourists can pay to be a close-up with a 16-foot man-eating crocodile, which I think is far more exciting than hanging out with Hillary Clinton, but equally dangerous, potentially. In other news, speaking of dangerous man-eaters, Dennis Rodman is offering to help us with North Korea. Yes, the worm himself wants to get Trump and Kim Jong-un to sit down and chat. I think channeling his inner Rodney King, Dennis Rodman said, I just want to try to straighten things out for everyone to get along together. I was about maybe 6 weeks ago, I was in Newport Beach, and I pulled up to a AAA, you know, like AAA insurance, but I was there for some registration stuff as an auto club member. And I'm sitting there in the parking lot, and I'm kind of gathering my documents as I'm sitting in the front seat of my car, and there's a white Range Rover next to me, and I look up, and it's Dennis Rodman. And can I tell you one thing? He is as freaky in real life as he is on TV. So I just want to point that out. Is this real? This is like an Onion article. The Trumpster is not going to take him up on this. I think Trump is done talking. And you know how I know that? Because Trump's tweeted, I'm done talking. The U.S. has been talking to North Korea and paying them extortion money for 25 years. Talking is not the answer. Exclamation point. So I don't think this is going to work out. But I sure like the idea of sending him over there. It could be a very interesting hostage situation. And I, Rodman does speak crazy, so perhaps, just perhaps, he is the linguistic bridge that we are looking for in dealing with North Korea. No good options there. The Rodman option, not strong, and but you know, there's some talk that this this nuclear test was faked. Yeah, there's sensors in South Korea that are very sensitive to any kind of nuclear dust, any traces of radiation. And they should by now be picking up, you know, we'll call them, you know, wafts of this nuclear bomb test. They're doing them underground, but still. And nothing, like 0.000. So there's some suspicion that maybe he just set off a crap ton of dynamite underground and is faking it. I could believe it. I actually could really believe that. So, but trust me, if there ever was a time that Kim Jong-un should be sweating under his man brassiere, that time is now. But send Rodman, for all I care. It could be funny. Great story. All right, back tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. See you then.